For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a matter of minutes, the Nick Sirianni press conference. I'm sure he'll be asked if the Eagles are a running team. He said it yesterday to John Ritchie. Seth Joyner says run the ball. Mark Sanchez says run the ball.
Everybody run the ball.
Hugh Douglas says
run the ball.
90-something percent of our Twitter poll today says run the football. We'll hear from Sirianni coming up in a few minutes. Of course, your reaction to Joel Embiid not playing tonight in the opener. I don't know when he's going to play. And the whole thing is just, it's the latest in the saga of the Sixers. It never makes any sense. I'm annoyed by it because they're not being honest about it, obviously. And if they were, I probably could wrap my mind around it. If they just told me, hey guys, we're going to play him 50 games. We're starting him on Thanksgiving. We're starting him at Christmas, whatever. At least I can understand it. But Hugh, this ambiguity, this like, well, he's fine, but he's not. That doesn't work, especially when people are getting ready to go to the game. The game's home. It's in Philadelphia. It's the home opener.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing, it reeks. And no matter what path it really is, right? He re-injured himself. He's got a weak knee from all the surgeries. Or this is a plan they don't want to tell us. None of it's good. None of it makes me feel great.
No, it's not one of those things that you feel warm and fuzzy about because it's like, what are we doing here? It feels like some of the same things that we've been doing over and over again for the past couple of years when it comes to Joel Embiid. Just a shroud of secrecy that we have over his injury, what's going on with him. It's one of those things where it's not a great feeling. And I tell you what, for me, the one that really jumps out is the fact that Coach Nurse kind of sits there and it sounds like he doesn't even know what's going on with the player. Yeah. That right there is tough. He put him in a tough spot if that's the case. And that's what leads me to believe that Joel Embiid, this is his decision. This is his decision not to play.
You know, it is funny the Nurse angle to this because, you know, he spoke yesterday and he kind of shrugged his shoulders at what do you want me to do? There's different stages of being a Sixers coach in this era. You come in happy, smiling, and then you have, you know, eventually you get to the stage of what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Or you say, hey, man, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, Brett Brown lived it. Doc Rivers lived it. Now Nick Nurse is living it. It's the state of the Sixers. And this was a year that people were going to be excited. I mean, let's be real. They signed Paul George. They talked about themselves as championship contenders. But it's hard to wrap your mind around that with the way this whole thing starts to, you know, begin this season. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence.
Man, I was telling Kyle, like, it don't matter if they sit this guy out for 40 games, whatever. This guy gets hurt on freak injuries. He dived on the floor. I think got hit by Siakam one game. Somebody clipped his knee last year. At basketball, you don't know when you're going to get injured. So I feel like when you try to prevent injuries, that's when you get hurt. So who's to say this guy sits out for 40 games, then all of a sudden he gets injured during the season? To me, with Joel Embiid, it's this guy is always half-assed on his health. So when you're half-assed on your health, you're going to have a half-assed mentality. You're going to have a half-assed performance in the playoffs. So to me, this guy needs to – if they say every year they say he loses weight, I got to see that on the court. So, like, put down the bonbons, put down the cheesesteaks, and really show us that you're in shape, Joel. I don't want to hear you lost 25 pounds. Show me on the court. Show me about not getting injured. Show me about staying on the court. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody's gonna be in on Joel Embiid in the Sixers until they show us, like, same thing like with all these Philadelphia teams. You have to show us that you're in on your health, Joel, because that's the main thing. And to me, the way Boston looks, they're look formidable right now, like they're gonna go back to back. So I don't care how healthy Joel's gonna be. Somebody got to come knock out Boston because these guys, game one, they look like they looked in the finals.
Yeah, they're a well-oiled machine. They've played together a lot. Their stars
continuity.
Are healthy. Yeah, continuity. All right, Terrence, give us a guess. Hughes Clues, a show that I dress up as a character from for a contest, and I've seen every single episode.
Man, I want to say Captain Jean Picard from Star Trek.
That's a fair guess. People might peg me as Star Trek.
Oh, that's a good one.
Terrence, that is not it. But that's probably our most, I could see why you peg me as the that guy.
Yeah, Captain Picard.
I actually wasn't a Star Trek guy, were you?
I watched it for a while. Yeah. I watched mostly the Captain Kirk ones.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of, which one was it? Yeah, when he was with the Borg. That was, about it.
How many different spinoffs of Star Trek
was there? There's a few of them, man. I watched the one where, I can't think of the lieutenant's name. But it was the lady. She was in the future. She was in the future. The one that where they have I can't think of anybody's name for Star Trek. Drawing a blank. But the most recent one, I think I watched. Mm. That was pretty good. Watched the whole series of that one. Yeah. So I guess I'm not really a Trekkie, but I've watched a few.
It seems like you're kind of a Trekkie.
Well, no, the Trekkie hardcore Trekkies are the ones that watch the Captain Kirk.
That's how you know, it's a real Trekkie?
Yeah, because they watch the Captain Kirk ones. They're all into the Captain Kirk and his wild escapades on different planets and whatnot.
Kyle doesn't strike me as a Trekkie.
No. I was more Star Wars guy.
Yeah, I think you got to make that kind of line of demarcation when you're growing up. You got to pick one or the other.
Russ, I can do the sci-fi stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, I always like Star Wars better. Russ and Freehold. What's up, Russ?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Russ.
Wow. Well, lots to unpack today, but listen, with Embiid, anyone who's mad about Embiid, I don't want to hear it. Like, you can be disappointed, but you can't be mad. Because for me, it's like, we all saw the car facts on Joel Embiid. The thing was in a couple accidents, you know, like, to expect to not have problems is just crazy. Like, it was going to happen, but...
Well, can I be mad at the Sixers then for fudging the Carfax before the season started? Like, I know the car probably had some issues, but I drove it off the lot to start the season, Russ, and I got a blown-out tire. Like, can they please be honest instead of saying yesterday, oh, yeah, now he's out.
The Carfax. That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
we got they can't fudge the Carfax on us.
I know, and that's the thing. We all saw it. We saw you were getting a great deal on this car if it performed like this. The fact that it was in three accidents before you got it and they did some body work doesn't mean you can't ride down the road and expect something to happen. That's knocking knees with somebody at any point in the season. That might cost him a month. So, like, in my mind, I guess I always knew that that was a possibility, so I'm not shocked at it. As far as the Olympics go, I thought it was going to be a great thing because you're going to get in LeBron's presence and Steph's presence, maybe some of that leadership stuff, maturity, rubs off on you. But
somebody else thought that, too. Somebody else thought that,
I think that was a reasonable expectation, you know, like, oh, listen, look how LeBron's leading. This is what you need to do, and this guy's in year 22. So I felt good about that, but I've seen in practice, I still see him coming down gingerly, and I still see this extensive knee brace. So this is not like, oh, you had a full offseason, you look the same way you looked last time I saw you. So from Nick Nurse's perspective, I see him saying, you know, look, Joel looked as good as I've ever seen him, and we've rolled him out like this. So why he's not getting on the court, I don't know. And we all know he's coming back. If he misses only three games, he's going to come back with a minute restriction.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have did that tonight and start ramping him up and say, we're going to only play him 5 minutes, appease the fans, like lessen the damage or blowback from the fans. But, yeah, I understand why it doesn't sit well with them, because I was excited about the roster. And I watched the Celtics play last night. They are better than they were last year. I never really thought much of Tatum because he took a lot of bad shots. Oh, man, him and Jaylen Brown. And they got Porzingis. He could sit on the bench all year. I don't think it'll make a difference. They're going to have the one spot. So I just wanted to see where we sat against the best, and I don't know that we're going to see that this year.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, they're incredible. I mean, they won 60-something last year. They're probably going to win 60-something games again. They might be the first team in a while to win back-to-back. Russ, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. What show are we talking about?
I would have to – I mean, I had it down to two. I'm going to go – I can't see you wearing a Power Rangers spandex, so I'm going to go Buffy.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Who
is
he dressed up as in the Appreciate Buffy? It. Who is he dressed up as in Buffy?
I can't imagine either of the real stars of the show. That wouldn't work. I actually did, when I was quite young, was a Power Ranger when I was a kid. But that's not the one.
Go Power Ranger. That's which Ranger were you?
Yeah, which Power
I was the Red Power Ranger.
Red Power Ranger.
Yeah. I believe it was Jason. Was that the red one?
I forgot. I used to watch. I watched the Power Rangers for a minute.
Yeah, weren't you a little old for Power Rangers?
I still watch cartoons, though.
Yeah,
I still watch cartoons.
Yeah, no, I take that back. Yeah, that maybe. I'm just saying, like, I remember Power Rangers in the early to mid-90s, weren't you? About
no, it's
20?
It's, 20? No, but the Power Rangers have been around a long time.
Like, when do you think it started? I remember starting watching, like, early 90s.
It was Ham Saban. It started, we just kind of took it and kind of we put our like
oh,
we
spin
put America.
On it?
Yeah,
oh.
It was like yeah, but it was a I think a Japanese cartoon.
So you saw some
it's been
early
around
Power
for a
Rangers.
While. Yeah, because that's in the vein of the Kamen Rider and all that other good stuff. You know, wearing the costumes and stuff, Ultraman. So it's been around for a long time.
I didn't know that. So I was thinking more Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah, but it's 90s. All yeah, it's all the same thing.
All right, let's go back to Chris in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, Chris? Chris, what's up, buddy?
Uh-oh.
All right, Chris, hold. We'll put you back on hold. Take a deep breath.
I mean, come on.
All right, Mike in West Philly. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Mike, we're trying to figure this thing out. What are you thinking?
So listen, here's my thoughts. This point shooting center theory, it just don't work for me. All right, so I'm okay with Joel not playing right now because, you know, he ain't playing with his back towards the basket. He's out at the top of the key. How many turnovers did he create because he got the ball in his hands at the top of the key? And that, to me, I feel like that's stunning the growth of the other players on the team when he's doing the stuff he's doing on the court. Now, I'm thinking when Andre Drummond starts tonight, you're just going to see a productive center doing center stuff. So I'm okay with it right now.
And he prepared for this moment, too. Andre was talking about how, you know, he didn't know whether or not he was going to play, but he did his cardio like he was going to play.
Oh, Andre's ready?
Yeah, you didn't hear that? That also makes me believe that this was kind of – he kind of knew it was going to go this way.
Yeah.
Because he said, hey, I didn't know if I was going to play or not. But in case I did, I ramped up my cardio.
So I just want to let you know, because I know you're Mr. Betting Man now.
Yes.
When I saw the Joel injury news yesterday, I did put a little, you know, just a couple dollars on Andre Drummond to lead the league in rebounds this year.
You did?
98-1 odds. 98-1.
See, since I got into this betting game, I don't know. I saw some of the bets last night for basketball. Mm. I don't know how I feel about betting on basketball.
You bet Bronny?
No, I didn't.
Because that would have been a waste of money.
I did not.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I haven't figured out how I'm going to bet on basketball yet, the points or whatever.
Mike, what's your guess for Hughes Clues? What show are we talking about?
SpongeBob. I don't have any clue.
No, I was not a SpongeBob character. Mike,
that would have been funny if you would have been a SpongeBob character, though.
Yeah, like himself? SpongeBob himself, Hughes?
I was thinking more like Patrick.
Patrick Starfish?
Yeah.
It's an insult.
That's not an insult. Patrick is like the cool. I'm not Patrick, definitely not calling him dumb.
Well, Patrick wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, if we're being honest.
No, I'm just saying. They Patrick. Patrick is the coolest character on SpongeBob SquarePants.
But is
though.
He the brightest?
I would say SpongeBob is not that bright either.
Well, none of them are. I mean, that's kind of...
SpongeBob's more like naive. Patrick's dumb.
Squidward would be the smartest one on the show?
I'd probably be like Squidward. Squidward's a jerk, huh?
You kind of remind me of Squidward.
So that you call yourself a little bit Squidward? You got a little Squidward
Kyle's
in?
Kyle's got some Squidward in him. Yeah, like not in a mean
just
way.
Just everyone
like,
leave me the hell alone.
He could pull it off. 215-592-949 for the Nick Sirianni press conference coming your way any
maybe.
Minute. Well, he's probably trying to figure out how he's going to answer the questions about why they don't want to throw anymore.
I don't know. I don't understand how he finds it this hard to be punctual.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, I don't know a lot of things that go on around
here. I don't think
he's
ever been on time for a press conference.
It's pretty rare. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, I think Chris in Plymouth Meeting is ready to roll here. What's up, Chris?
All right, I'm here. Yeah, I'm going to roll through this quick because Coach is coming up. My original point with the Eagles, but I'll touch on the Sixers real quick. Yes, I am disappointed that Joel is not playing this evening, but I do kind of understand it. I mean, he's a $400 million investment, and it's not about if he plays the first 4 games. It's if he plays the last 4 games. That's the most important, in my opinion. Just real quick on the Birds before Coach comes up. I don't want to, but is it time, considering where we drafted him, which was 13th overall, and we traded up in the first round to get him, is it fair right now to label Jordan Davis as a bust, considering how he's playing so poorly? And not only that, but how Booker and also Ajomo specifically are really balling out. Jordan Davis only had 12 snaps all of last game.
I think it's fair to say this, Chris. They're moving away from making him a big part of this. I mean, Chris, you're right about the snap counts on Sunday. He played 12 snaps, you. Yeah, Jomo's getting more snaps. Booker's getting more snaps.
I still don't believe that he's a bust. I think that what happens is, you know, you're looking at guys and you want them to be pass rushers. He got drafted high, and a lot of people look at him like he has to be a pass rush presence. I think he's pretty decent in the run game. I think the matchups were this week. They were a little bit more favorable for the other guys as far as what they want to do is putting pressure on the quarterback and everything, but I don't think that Jordan Davis is a bust.
All right, let's go to Nick Sirianni for his press conference.
Sorry, you get saved by the Heimlich maneuver.
In a press conference?
It wasn't a press conference.
Hey, Bob, is this
it wasn't a press conference.
We're good. Yeah, Gatorade's good.
It's Gatorade?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's Gatorade.
It's commercial.
Yeah, thank you. Wait forever for that, Jack.
All right.
Hey, Nick, there's all this talk about an identity and things like that. When you have a running back like Saquon, top three in rushing, and offensive line that mash in the run game, is the identity maybe evolving into kind of a running team?
Excuse me. You know, I think, again, we do what we need to do to win each game. There's going to be a game where we have to We're going to have to pass it a bunch. There's going to be a game we're going to have to run it again like that. And so it's all going to be week to week. Again, you want to stay in things that you do well, but everything's going to be week to week based off of what's going right that week. And, you know, and so we'll see as the year progresses.
Nick, you told us about the moment with Saquon, but since we've all seen that, can that have an effect on the entire team?
Yeah, I think people really respect Saquon, and you know, because of the person he is, the leader he is, the player that he is, and I think that, you know, it just shows selflessness. You know, just caring about the team. You know, caring about and that's what he's been since he's been here. And that's what he's been. excuse me. You know, since he's probably been 10 years old, right, and playing football. And so I think that a lot of guys respect that, and you know. We try to point those things out anytime they happen, you know, with the selflessness and the, you know, because that's part about being a team. Excuse me.
Hey, Nick, what impresses you most about Joe Burrow?
Yeah, he's a really good, obviously really good player who's done it really well. Excuse me. I need to step away for a second. I'm going to have a coughing attack.
Be right back.
Nick, are you ill?
Listen to 94 WIP. Right here is Sirianni. Hopefully he's all right. A little cough and fit there. We get it. It happens to the best of us sometimes. But Nick needed a second, so we'll hop back on as he talks about Joe Burrow and being a running team and Saquon, you know, doing a little breath of fresh air to the team with not going back in that game Sunday, Hugh.
Yeah, I think that was pretty
all right,
cool.
He's back. Here we go.
that was funny. He's done it at a high level for a very long time. I mean, you know, thinking back on just that team that he had in college, he still has one of the guys that he was throwing to in college and just how fun that was, excuse me, to watch. Just think, you know, he just plays at a high level each and every year. And this is a really good offense. A lot of respect for this offense with the weapons they have. And then obviously Joe Burrow.
We've seen over the last, I mean, since the start of the season, the defense and the personnel usage, and in some cases guys being subbed out for others, evolve. But especially so since the bye, how has Vic managed that, and how have you overseen it and allowed him to kind of run with that?
Yeah, you know, obviously these guys have a vision of, you know, what guys do well, and they're with that every single day, and obviously I'm there with them watching that. But, you know, they're – you know, got so much faith in our defensive staff to, you know, hey, we think this guy should be here, this guy should be there. And, you know, obviously, again, we watch it all together, but they're the experts at defense. And, you know, so I just got a lot of respect for our defensive staff and the positions that they've put the guys in. Like, we know this, though. We're only as good as our next game. So we got a really big challenge on our hands this week against a really good opponent, and looking forward to the challenge. And we'll see how that goes.
And how does that happen? Come back and follow up. How does that? I mean, we've gotten to know Vic fairly well. He's pretty blunt, and he's pretty much going to just handle things the way he's going to handle them. That may rub some players if they're losing snaps, et cetera. How does he handle that? And how do you, are you kind of the good cop to his bad cop?
I think every situation calls for something probably a little bit different. I think, you know, like I said, he's about the result of the play and how he gets the guys better and how he puts them in positions to succeed. And I think he's consistent, you know, with everything. I don't think there's a lot of surprise of, you know, what's the, you make a mistake. What you got there?
Milk.
I don't need milk. I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years. Yeah, I think he's just really consistent. I think guys respect the consistency. Now, you might not always like, and that's what you try to do as a coach. You might not always like, and not everybody might always like what's being said. But I think everyone has to respect the consistency, and I think that's what I admire about Vic.
And the post-game speech that the team's getting its mojo back, what did you mean by that? And I guess, what does that look like?
I think I said about the pass rush. Yeah. You know, okay. And so it was just, you know, when you have two games in a row where the pass rush has been what it's been, you know, I just felt that. I kind of wrote that, like, I write notes on my call sheet as we go through the game, you know, things that need to be corrected, this and that you see live. And I just wrote that in the middle of the game after maybe the fifth sack, like, it just felt like that, right? Where it's, you know, at any point, with the guys that were going up front, that at any point they could get a sack because of the way they were rushing. And so that's how I felt about it. And it was, you know, I know the defensive line felt that way too. The defense felt that way. I think the offense felt that way. I think the entire team felt that way of, like, you know, because we've had a lot of sacks here in my 4 years. It's a great feeling, you know, because that's a stat we pay a lot of attention to, because it's kind of in that double positive, the explosive play battle and the turnover battle. It kind of goes, it's a, you know, the next one that we look at there. And so we know how important that is.
How do you balance the feeling that I think they have found something in the pass rush versus it's happened to come against two teams that had some weakened offensive line? Or does it matter because they feel the sacks and they think they got
them? Yeah, I mean, every, you know, this is professional football, like every week's going to be a huge, huge challenge. And so, again, just you get it because not because of who you're going against, but really because of how you prepare and how you go about your business each week. I think we're a product of our habits more so than who we're playing, right? Or anything like that. You're gonna have the habits that you practice out there with, and so that's what we really try to focus on.
Nick, how unique is it to be able to change, like, identity during a game, like, from, let's say, you go into a game thinking you're going to run the ball, but then they show you something different, and you pass the ball, and you got guys like AJ and Devontae and stuff. Like, I guess that's probably something you probably didn't have, like, when you first got here, obviously. So how unique is that?
Yeah, you know, I think what was unique as I saw it this week in the Giants game was, when you watch that tape, you see there's multiple times where Devontae is throwing his body around to get a block. I mean, shoot, we only passed the ball four times in the second half. So it's going to be a day where any receiver is going to, you know, you're not going to get the production that you normally get when those things happen. But to see the effort of AJ and Devontae and Jahan, you know, I'm gonna single those three guys out. And Paris did a good job blocking as well when he was in, and Johnny did a good job. He had a nice block on one and had some other good efforts. But the effort, you know, that was huge. Like, the play that I felt like kind of got us going was that one around the edge by Saquon. Well, AJ comes in and digs the safety out, and then Cam's able to wrap around and ends up getting hands on their corner. And so it's like, okay, the game's it was kind of a little early to say that the game was going to play out that way at that point. But as the game progressed, you just see, like, we all heard the selflessness of Saquon when I had that conversation with him when he, you know, so that was heard. But you see it on tape with Devontae. I'm going to single those two guys out particularly, Devontae and AJ, of how they blocked in a game like that. And I remember there was a – There was a game a couple years ago where Devontae said the same thing. I remember he said it to Slay on the sideline. Like, Slay's like, let me get in. We were winning by a lot. He's like, let me get in, get a couple catches. He's like, we ain't catching today. We've been running it. And you want to come in on offense? You better go ahead and strap it up because we're blocking today. And so it's like, I love, like, that selflessness that we get to see. And that's like, when you're building a team and you're building, you know, as a group, you're building together to try to do this. Those things go a long way. The selflessness, and I'm answering the question kind of like to really emphasize that, as opposed to how it goes different, because every game can go a little bit different than how you think. But at the end of the day, it's about winning the football game and what we have to do to be successful. And when you're a guy who gets the ball a lot, like those guys, and then it's a day that you don't get the ball, how are you affecting the game? How are you affecting the game in a positive way when you're not touching the football? And those guys, I just can't say enough. Like, I wanted to spend a little time on that because I can't say enough about how selfless I felt like they were. And that doesn't surprise me. That's how these guys are.
Is that contagious when your veteran, your leaders do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I think everyone feeds off that. You know, sometimes you see a play on the sideline where Saquon lowers a shoulder or AJ finishes on the sideline or Coop finishes on the sideline, the contagiousness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That has, right, for the toughness of your football team and the energy that it brings. Well, it's the same thing here. If guys are watching and seeing that, and we point it out and we show that, I mean, that's a big deal. Because when Devontae Smith can do it, you know, and play with selflessness, and, you know, then they got to do that too, because that's what's the expectation and that's what the standard is.
How would you describe Josh Sweat's season to this point?
I think Josh Sweat is one of the most physical guys on this football team. And I think that defensive ends are always judged on how many sacks did you get, right? And I get that, and that's part of it. But the way he plays the run and the way he puts his hands on tight ends and the way he puts his hands on tackles and the violence that he plays with is critical to our success on how he plays on the edge of our defense. And so I feel like every week when I'm watching the tape, I'm writing up there 19 – you know, as I look at the tape, you know, 19 plus physical, 19 plus violent, 19 plus way to use your hands. It's like, it's just over and over and over again. And it was good to see him, you know, the last couple of weeks get the sacks, because he's always on pursuit. You know, I think there was a really good play that he made in that Giants game where they thumped the edge, you know, with the tight end. He got skinny and then got himself back on the tackle. And was an unbelievable rush when the attention was going to him. When you can beat a rush when two guys are blocking you, that's impressive. And he was able to do that, and he's been able to do that throughout his career. He brings he sets a tone to our defense of the way he plays with his physicality, and we'll expect him to keep doing that because that's the type of guy he is.
What about the framework of the passing game helps Jalen be right more frequently when he goes after a one-on-one? Kellen talked about how there is a passing progression, but you can green light after a one-on-one if he sees it. You know, you guys have done that before, but what went into that conversation with the office as you're building that to help him in that?
Yeah, you know, again, there's time. You have good one-on-one players, and you trust one-on-one players. It takes the built-in trust that is, you know, again, this isn't blind faith. This is work over and over and over again, that he trusts AJ Devontae to work those one-on-ones when he does have them, and being able to know when he doesn't have them to work the other part of the concept. And so, and listen, defenses are constantly trying to manipulate you to see, you know, to deceive you, right, of to what you're really getting. And so I just think he's done a good job of seeing what the defense is giving to him, taking his opportunities for one-on-ones when he has them, and playing football, you know, playing the position at a high level when they don't present themselves.
Is it a bias?
Two more folks.
Is it a byproduct sometimes chasing those shots? You know, when he does see those one-on-one matchups, does it sometimes lead to the passing offense maybe seeing arrhythmic at times?
Again, when you don't complete a vertical ball, there's still a fear that's put into the defense where they can't sit on routes at the sticks, or they can't sit on routes that they appear that appear like, listen, defense is trying to deceive us and we're trying to deceive them. Like, everyone's lying out there on the field, right? And so when you go vertical and you don't get it, yes, that puts you in the second and 10. But if it's first and 10, obviously, but there's so much else it does, right, to that defensive back and to that matchup. And so, you know, I don't think you can look at it as just a product of, hey, it was an incomplete pass. Like, we started the Cleveland game that way, right, with a couple of vertical shots that were incomplete passes. You can't look at it like that. There's other things that go into it when after that happens.
Last one.
As a wide receiver guy, how would you compare or evaluate the two combinations in this game?
Yeah, both big time. Both big time. You know, obviously a ton of respect for T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And I think the guy, you know, kid from Princeton's doing well too. And obviously wouldn't want anyone else but our guys with Devontae and AJ. But, you know, again, it'll be fun for fans to watch, right? The combination of all those playmakers on the field. I know you want me to rank them. I'm not going to rank them. But a ton of respect for both. Love the guys that we have, and a lot of respect over there, you know, of how they've done it and how they've done it for many years. Go ahead, Bruce.
Just to follow up on the passing, what goes into the balance of, you know, either zeroing in on those one-on-ones when there may be something in the progression that emerges? Like, what's the balance, and how do you kind of coach that?
Yeah, again, I mean, sometimes routes stay on versus press. Sometimes they convert versus press. Sometimes they stay on versus cloud, and sometimes they convert. And so sometimes it's just the defense that balances that out. But, you know, again, you're just trying to attack multiple ways. You're trying to attack on the outside. You're trying to attack on the inside. You're trying to attack vertical. You're trying to attack short. You know, so, again, we're constantly lying to the defense about what we're doing.
All right. Thanks.
All right, there was the Nick Sirianni press conference, asked about running the football and Jalen Hurts and this matchup against Joe Burrow. We'll react more on the other side. Hopefully Nick gets himself some, you know, cough syrup or something. He's struggling there. Hopefully he feels better by Sunday. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to Sirianni. Are you okay with the Sixers' decision to sit Joel Embiid to start the season? Your calls on that. Plus, a third clue for a prize. And we'll do a little What If Wednesday here on the Midday Show. All on the other side on Sports Radio 94 at WIP. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
for clarification, is he injured or is this more a long-term preventative thing with Joel?
This is getting him to where he needs to be to get him on the court.
These clowns.
Welcome to the start of another Sixer season, everyone. Joel Embiid not playing tonight, not playing this weekend. And then we'll reevaluate the whole thing. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillis, The Midday Show, 215-592-9494. Hugh, a lot going on. Here's what we do know. We know that we will not have...
He ain't playing tonight.
He ain't playing tonight. Neither is Paul George. So we got Tyrese Maxey and friends against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm excited to see that. I mean, you know, the outcome might not be what we want it to be, but I'm excited to see Tyrese Maxey's growth as a young player. I mean, he is the future. I'm kind of like Jamil on this. Jamil, I'm channeling my inner Jamil with this one.
Yeah.
Because he's basically, like, it's funny. He came over here and chastised us, and he basically just gave up. He's 3 years in the future.
Which coping in the city is your favorite coping? Is it Sixers coping as we go through the different emotions during the year? Is it Philly's coping when things go wrong? Or is it Eagles coping is some of the...
I like Sixers coaching. Yeah, I mean, coping. Because Sixers fans... They wrap their mind. I love when they say he's a big guy. He's 200-something pounds. Da-da-da-da-da. What do you want from him? I'm like, interesting. But if it was Jalen or somebody else, oh, they're going, man, listen. They're going crazy. But it's funny. I mean, I get it. It's different sport, and I know people are going to say that. But it's common sense is common sense to me.
Well, but common sense ain't something like to say.
Sometimes, yeah, common sense ain't common. But – you gave this man an extension, and now he's not out there. Now you're telling everybody, hey, we're wrapping up for the playoffs. Like, when the playoffs start, you're just going to mow over everybody that's been playing together.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take the Boston Celtics to break through, what, 7 seasons?
Yep.
And they look like a well-oiled machine right now. They look like they've gotten over the hump, and they're ready to take it to the next level. They look like they're ready to – add some more championships to their already full championship room.
They absolutely could. By the way, just looking at Embiid's contract, so everyone has something to smile about today. Ready for this? $51 million this year, $55 million next year, $59 million the following year, $27 million, $28 million, $64 million, $28 million, $29 million, $69 million.
That's a lovely payday. I ain't mad at it. I mean, you know, when you talk about the realm of, you know, that he's in. I mean, they gave him the money. Who am I to be upset because they re-signed a guy who was hurt during the course of being in the Olympics and came back and he got some more money?
Well, I can be mad. It's a salary cap.
Yeah, you can be mad, but, you know, for what? They gave it to him.
Well, it's therapeutic for me. I like getting upset.
Then you threw the head coach out there.
Not that hard to get mad, Hugh.
Hey, then you threw the head coach out there and said, hey, well, what do you want me to do? He said,
I do feel for Nick Nurse in this.
What do you want me to do?
He's an Anderson bystander.
He is.
Yeah, he works for the circus, but he's not really that much part of the circus.
What you want me to do?
All right, before we go any further, Hugh, let's give people a third clue. We haven't given this away yet. We have a $50 gift card to Klondike Cakes Restaurant.
Because nobody's thinking, man. You got to think.
And Saloon in Newark, Delaware. We'll be there tomorrow from 10 to 2. You can use your gift card and hang out with us tomorrow or whenever you want to go down. KlondikeCakes.com for details. Or why don't you give everyone the first two clues and then the new clue number 3.
The first clue was Joe dressed up like this character from this show for Halloween. Second, Joe has seen every episode of this show. And the third clue is this show ran from 1985 to 1992.
Yeah, so I was very young in the beginning of this run of the show. I saw the episodes I saw in syndication. So that gives you a little...
Yeah, this is... I mean, and when y'all hear it, y'all going to be like...
You might be surprised. Yeah, you might be surprised. 215-592-9494. Let's get to some phone calls here. Your calls, get as many as we can quickly here. And then we got to get to a little What If Wednesday based on what's going on in the NFL right now. Mike in Norristown. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going?
Good, what's up, Mike. Man? What's up, buddy?
I'm over it, man. Embiid is... Mr. Glass from Unbreakable, I'm over it. $54 million a year, opening day, and you can't play. People pay good money. He makes good money, and he doesn't even make an effort. He plays every game in the Olympics. Not a problem. I think he's picking and choosing. And he's showing us how soft he is, and we need to move on from him.
Well, the hard part is, Mike, I mean, the contract. They just gave him an extra extension. So, I mean, I know a team would take him, right? Teams are desperate for great players in the NBA. Someone would, but you're not getting great stuff back for Embiid if we wanted to trade him right now. Like, if we called another team that has a top 15 player in the league, Hugh, they would say, no, we're not taking on that contract. And he's a great player, but we're not giving you our great player for yours.
That's interesting that, I mean, when you think about it like that, yeah. I mean, you're right. You're definitely right.
Yeah, Mike, it's a shame. It's a shame that we're here right now.
Yeah, I think we could. I think somebody would take him, and I think we could build on it. Like, right now, I think actually somebody would take him. Like, the Lakers won a championship in the worst way. I could see them going for him.
I started to think, to your point, I was thinking that, but man, they just re-signed him and they're going to give him all that money. He'll probably be a part. He has to go to a team that already has some established players. He can't be the focal point of that team if he went there.
Absolutely. Like, he'd go to the Lakers with LeBron. I think he could do that. I think that they would do it. They won a championship. LeBron's on his last leg. I think they would do it. They got the money. They don't care. They would pay the money for him to play.
Well, you know what? It's amazing we're here on day one of the season, Mike, but here we are. All right, Mike, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues. What show are we talking about?
I'm going to say Cheers.
That's a good guess. I did like Cheers a lot, Mike. That's a good one. And Cheers has the kind of cast you could do a costume contest with other people and kind of be the different characters. Not it, but a good guess.
You know, it's funny because I have friends that are listening to the show and they're chiming in as people are guessing.
Yep.
You know what? Two guests came in back-to-back, the same one.
Is it the right one?
No.
Oh.
Different Strokes.
I love Different Strokes. I probably have seen most of those episodes,
you missed the Drummond.
Well, I mean.
Because you couldn't be Arnold Willis.
I'd love to be Willis. Willis was a great character.
You know, it's funny. Full disclosure, when I think about some of these costumes, and I think about the black characters and you playing them, that has the potential to be a costume fail for some people. Not for you, baby.
Costume cancellation. Joe's gonna be out.
I mean, I've seen some people like I've they're not my friends, but I've seen people that, especially in the South, be like, "Oh, dog, that might."
So are you? Hold on. I'm just asking. Are you hoping to recreate and do a costume thing next week here? Where the cast of Different Strokes?
No. Who? Okay. Okay. Which, would I be Arnold or Willis?
Well, you got to pick. Yeah.
Man.
You get first dibs.
That would be wild. That would definitely be wild. But no, not really. How about we do Homie the Clown? I like that one.
I have an idea, actually.
What you got?
You should dress up as this famous actor that once starred in a TV show called Arliss.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be, you know, that's art imitating life.
Do you have the cowboy hat?
I don't. I don't have the hair either.
Well, that makes two of
you? What do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for $100,000 when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly. Yeah, cows? What are you going to do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
I've got $100,000 on the line here.
Sorry, partner. You got to find somebody else to do this deal.
Exactly.
This might be an early Daily Douglas, but I looked up yesterday. To buy a cow, it's like $2,000.
Excuse me?
No, wait a minute. I forgot. It was either to buy a half a cow.
Wait, hold on.
Or a cow. It's $2,000.
How do you buy a half a cow?
Well, you get it. You cut it up. You go to the butcher, right?
Oh, you're trying to eat this thing, not have it as a pet?
Listen, since I bought a house,
I
was going to get a cow and, like, put all the meat in the refrigerator. I was trying to figure out.
You're going to get a cow, people assume it's alive.
Well, no, at some point it's not going to be.
Are you planning on unaliving the cow?
I'm going to unalive the cow. Personally. Not me personally. No, I'm not going to do
that. You're going to get a living cow and then take care of it?
You pick out the cow.
And then you're going to be the one that does
you can pick out the cow and be like, hey, let me get that one.
But wait a second.
And then they do what they do.
Oh, they do? I thought you were alluding to that you're going to take care of the cow.
No, I'm not going to take care of the cow. But I thought about it. I mean, not me thinking about taking care of the cow.
Why don't you just go to the store and get meat like normal?
No, because it's cheaper in the long run to get the cow and unalive it and put the meat in the refrigerator. So but that's a lot of meat.
If you
pause.
I would have rolled him until he told me no. I didn't even think about it like that.
If you get this cow, you need to help out Nick Sirianni, who desperately needed a glass of milk. in that press conference.
Had one in 20 years.
I can't believe.
Where'd the milk question come from?
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
I can't believe people still drink milk, man.
Do you know one of our coworkers here drinks milk? Do you know about this, Kyle?
Oh, it's Tucker, right?
Tucker.
He's a big milk guy.
When I would work with Tucker at night, he would bring in, I'm not kidding with you guys, half gallons a night and just knock that thing out, like during the show.
Excuse me.
See, this thing called the internet, when I start seeing how they process the milk and stuff, I'm like, I'm cool. Because the milk, white is not the original color of milk. It's not.
What color is it?
It's not white.
It's somewhat white.
Well, with a little tint.
Yes. It's a little tinted.
Yeah, it's a little tinted. And it's when you look at it, you're like, I'm good.
Farmer Douglas over here buying half cows and telling us how the milk production
good, but
works.
I did think about buying a cow.
All right, we'll get to pasteurization in the next hour. All right, let's before we go any further, can we do a little What If Wednesday here? Sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, I got a what if for everybody. What if the Philadelphia Eagles did not trade a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson before the season? You see what's going on in the NFL. Trade deadline's a couple weeks away, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of movement here. So this morning, DeAndre Hopkins traded from the Titans to the Chiefs for a fourth round. I believe it actually is a conditional fourth. It could be a fifth. It's either a fifth or a fourth. And then there's a rumor out there that Cooper Kupp could be on the move, and that sounds like it's a second-round pick. And I'm just and last week it was, what, Amari Cooper went for a third?
Yeah, something like that. A lot of receivers moving teams.
Well, and they're also all going for around the price that Jahan Dotson did. Hugh, what if Wednesday...
We could have got a better receiver.
Yeah, what if we didn't waste a third-round pick? And that, right now it feels like a waste, right? Jahan Dotson feels like he's not even part of the season. They're throwing the ball less, obviously going to get less targets for the slot guy. Feels like Howie made a mistake on that one when he could have waited and gotten a better player for the same price.
I think at the time, though, I mean, it's kind of like buying a car. I mean, I know that's a pretty bad analogy, but it is. You know, the deal that you get for the car might not be the same that someone gets later on in the year for the same car. So it's one of those things where I don't look at it that bad. I wish we'd have got him. I wish we'd get more production out of him.
Sure.
But... Hell, Schmitty only got one target last week. Maybe we win a game.
Maybe he's not good or open.
I think it's kind of hard to say because the quarterback, for whatever reason, has not been accurate. He's been a little late in some of his throws. So I don't think that's a fair assessment. If I'm trying to be fair and balanced in this situation, I don't think that's a fair assessment because we've seen right before our eyes this team just shift gears. And we've become more of a running team. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's going to be a time and a place where Jahan Dotson gets a chance to shine.
Well, he might have to. I mean, he did start a couple games because of the injury to A.J. Brown. I just look at it like this. If you told Howie now, I know you can't do this, your analogy with the car thing, Hugh. If you told Howie now what the price of cars are, right, if we're using receivers as cars around the deadline, there's no way if he could go back in time, he would have made the trade. Right, like better players are going for this. Amari Cooper went for a very similar price. Amari Cooper's way better.
Traded a few times though.
He has been, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
But I think that's more a product of the Cowboys and the Browns more than like and the Raiders. He's played on some weird teams.
They traded him away, and now Jameis the starter in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of receivers moving. I don't expect the Eagles to spend another resource on a receiver. If they trade for something before the deadline, which is a week from Tuesday, I would think it's what, gonna be a pass rusher? If they trade for one thing before the trade deadline, a week from Tuesday, I don't think it's another receiver. They can't use another pick on a receiver.
I don't think they trade for a pass rusher. You think so?
Well, let's just say they do trade for something. What do you think it would be? What position would they try to add to the team?
A running back.
Mm.
Another running back.
Because we're a run team now?
Yeah, I would. Your biggest concern was the fact that Saquon was running the ball a lot. Like, he was more efficient last week.
But he's running a lot.
He's running a lot. And he's been pretty healthy so far. Knock on Formica, whatever this is. I would say probably another complimentary back.
Well, you go back to 2017.
Let some of the young cats run a
little. Yeah, well, there's that too. We could see more Gainwell and more Shipley. They did trade for Jay Ajayi in 2017. If I had to guess, I still think they would add a pass rusher to the mix. But the pass rush has obviously been good the last couple weeks here with the guys that have 13 sacks. Our little What If Wednesday. My guess is they don't They don't love the Jahan Dotson trade. That one not working out right now the way they envisioned.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
Yeah, it feels that way. If Cooper Kupp goes for three, it's a disaster. I mean, like, the fact that they paid that when, you know, these other receivers that are way better are going for it, it's not good. Rob Adelko, what's up, Rob?
Joseph Q. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
Listen, I got a couple. I'm a hot take team, Hugh, so I got a couple hot takes for you, all right? That poll you put on Twitter for run the ball, I'm in the 10%, and you know why?
Why?
Because if we had a quarterback we believed in, Joe, it would be flipped. That's why the poll is the way it is. Not because we think we should run the ball, Hugh. I'm Andy Reid's philosophy. Throw to set up the run. That's how I am. If we believed in our quarterback, that's why the poll was at 10%.
I love your take on this. I think you're right. I think this is more about the question marks and concern with what the quarterback's doing right now rather than, hey, this is the best way to go win the Super Bowl.
Yep. If we believed in Jalen, then it would be 90, you know, it would be the flip. You know what I mean? It would be flip. So I think it's all based on the quarterback. That's why we think we should run the ball. Now, here's my hot take with the Sixers, Hugh. I have no problem with what they're doing, Joe. None. Why didn't we do this 5 years ago? What, we had to wait for him? We had to waste years of him getting the MVP or finishing runner-up a couple times or getting his Olympic gold medal? Why didn't we start this plan 5 years ago? It wasn't like he just started getting hurt last year, right, Joe?
No. He's been getting hurt a long time, yep.
He's been getting hurt every single year he's been here. All 10 years, whatever it's been, 10, 11 years since he's been in a Sixers uniform, he's been getting hurt. So this is not new. I'm just mad at you. They didn't do this earlier. That's all I'm mad.
Too little,
that
too
makes
late.
Yeah.
It does feel that way. It feels too little, too late.
I feel like his best years are behind him.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing this now for, Josh Harris? You know what I mean? What are you doing this now for? The light bulb just went on. Let's conserve him for the, you know, for the playoffs. Hell, they should be doing this years ago. That's my only gripe. Not what they're doing, but when they decide to do it. You know what I mean? That's my biggest thing. And guess what?
Mm.
Before I give you my answer, here's the biggest hot take, Hugh. They're going to, after all, I just ripping the Sixers, they're going to win a championship before the Phillies and the Eagles. Okay? Mm. That's how I feel about the quarterback, and that's how I feel the state of the Phillies when we're going backwards.
Wow. Well, that would surprise a lot, even though maybe it's accurate. It would surprise a lot. All right, Rob, give us your guess. What do you got?
All right. I love this show. I don't know if you actually had a uniform for it or not. MacGyver.
MacGyver was a fun show. That's not it, but it's a fair guess. All right, on the other side, Elliot Shore Parks will join us. His thoughts on the Embiid stuff and the Eagles. Plus, we're still trying to give away this prize. It's a good one. $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's. The best clue coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Your call as well. 215-592-9494 for your chance to chime in on Embiid, Sirianni's press conference, and run the ball. Yes or no? Everyone says yes. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, I want to remind you that it's time to speak up. Election Day is November 5th, and we want every block and every voice to be heard. From Poplar to Mayfair, from Cobbs Creek to Parkwood, it's election time, and we want your voice to be heard. Visit vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail and request your mail-in ballot before October 29th. That's vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail. Come on, Philly. We want every block and every voice to be heard.
for clarification. Is he injured, or is this more a long-term preventative thing with Joel?
This is getting him to where he needs to be to get him on the court.
These clowns.
Welcome to the start of another Sixers season, everyone. Joel Embiid not playing tonight, not playing this weekend. And then we'll reevaluate the whole thing. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillis, the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Hugh, a lot going on. Here's what we do know. We know that we will not have...
He ain't playing tonight.
He ain't playing tonight. Neither is Paul George. So we got Tyrese Maxey and friends against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm excited to see that. I mean, you know, the outcome might not be what we want it to be, but I'm excited to see Tyrese Maxey's growth as a young player. I mean, he is the future. I'm kind of like Jamil on this. Jamil, I'm channeling my inner Jamil with this one.
Yeah.
Because he's basically, like, it's funny. He came over here and chastised us, and he basically just gave up. He's 3 years in the future.
Which coping in the city is your favorite coping? Is it Sixers coping as we go through the different emotions during the year? Is it Philly's coping when things go wrong? Or is it Eagles coping is some of the...
I like Sixers coaching. Yeah, I mean, coping. Because Sixers fans... They wrap their mind. I love when they say he's a big guy. He's 200-some pounds. Da-da-da-da-da. What do you want from him? I'm like, interesting. But if it was Jalen or somebody else, oh, they're going, man, listen. They're going crazy. But it's funny. I mean, I get it. It's different sport, and I know people are going to say that. But it's common sense is common sense to me.
Well, but common sense ain't something like to say.
Sometimes, yeah, common sense ain't common. But – you gave this man an extension, and now he's not out there. Now you're telling everybody, hey, we're wrapping up for the playoffs. Like, when the playoffs start, you're just going to mow over everybody that's been playing together. Mm-hmm. How long did it take the Boston Celtics to break through, what, 7 seasons?
Yep.
And they look like a well-oiled machine right now. They look like they've gotten over the hump, and they're ready to take it to the next level. They look like they're ready to – add some more championships to their already full championship room.
They absolutely could. By the way, just looking at Embiid's contract, so everyone has something to smile about today. Ready for this? $51 million this year, $55 million next year, $59 million the following year, $27-28, $64 million, $28-29, $69 million.
That's a lovely payday. I ain't mad at it. I mean, you know, when you talk about the realm of, you know, that he's in. I mean, they gave him the money. Who am I to be upset because they re-signed a guy who was hurt during the course of being in the Olympics and came back and he got some more money?
Well, I can be mad. It's a salary cap.
Yeah, you could be mad, but, you know, for what? They gave it to him.
Well, it's therapeutic for me. I like getting upset.
Then you threw the head
coach out
there.
Not that hard to get mad, Hill.
Hey, then you threw the head coach out there and said, hey, well, what do you want me to do? He said
I do feel for Nick Nurse in this. Nick,
what do you want me to do?
He's an Anderson bystander.
He
works for the circus, but he's not really that much part of the circus.
What you want me to do?
All right, before we go any further, Hugh, let's give people a third clue. We haven't given this away yet. We have a $50 gift card to Klondike Kids Restaurant.
Because nobody's thinking, man. You got to think.
And Saloon in Newark, Delaware. We'll be there tomorrow from 10 to 2. You can use your gift card and hang out with us tomorrow or whenever you want to go down. KlondikeKids.com for details. Or why don't you give everyone the first two clues and then the new clue number 3.
The first clue was Joe dressed up like this character from this show for Halloween. Second, Joe has seen every episode of this show. And the third clue is this show ran from 1985. To 1992.
Yeah, so I was very young in the beginning of this run of the show. I saw the episodes in syndication. So that gives you a little...
Yeah, this is... I mean, and when y'all hear this, y'all going to be like...
You might be surprised. Yeah, you might be surprised. 215-592-9494. Let's get to some phone calls here. Your calls, get as many as we can quickly here. And then we got to get to a little What If Wednesday based on what's going on in the NFL right now. Mike in Norristown. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going?
Good, what's up, Mike. Man? What's up, buddy?
I'm over it, man. Embiid is... Mr. Glass from Unbreakable, I'm over it. $54 million a year, opening day, and you can't play? People pay good money, he makes good money, and he doesn't even make an effort. He plays every game in the Olympics, not a problem. I think he's picking and choosing, and he's showing us how soft he is, and we need to move on from him.
Well, the hard part is, Mike, I mean, the contract. They just gave him an extra extension. So I mean, I know a team would take him, right? Teams are desperate for great players in the NBA. Someone would, but you're not getting great stuff back for Embiid if we wanted to trade him right now. Like, if we called another team that has a top 15 player in the league, Hugh, they would say, no, we're not taking on that contract. And he's a great player, but we're not giving you our great player for yours.
That's interesting. That, I mean, when you think about it like that, yeah. I mean, you're right. You're definitely right.
Yeah, Mike, it's a shame. It's a shame we're here right now.
Yeah, I think we could. I think somebody would take him, and I think we could build on it. Like, right now, I think actually somebody would take him. Like, the Lakers won a championship in the worst way. I could see them going for him.
I started to think, to your point, I was thinking that, but man, they just re-signed him and they're going to give him all that money. He'll probably be a part. He has to go to a team that already has some established players. He can't be the focal point of that team if he went there.
Absolutely. Like, he'd go to the Lakers with LeBron. I think he could do that. I think that they would do it. They won a championship. LeBron's on his last leg. I think they would do it. They got the money. They don't care. They would pay the money for him to play.
Well, you know what? It's amazing we're here on day one of the season, Mike, but here we are. All right, Mike, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues. What show are we talking about?
I'm going to say Cheers.
That's a good guess. I did like Cheers a lot, Mike. That's a good one. And Cheers has the kind of cast you could do like a costume contest with other people and kind of be the different characters. Not it, but a good guess.
You know, it's funny because I have friends that are listening to the show and they're chiming in as people are guessing.
Yep.
You know what? Two guests came in back to back, the same one.
Is it the right one?
No.
Oh.
Different Strokes.
I love Different Strokes. I probably have seen most of those episodes.
So you missed the drumming.
Well, I mean,
because you couldn't be Arnold Willis.
I'd love to be Willis. Willis was a great character.
You know, it's funny. Full disclosure, when I think about some of these costumes and I think about the black characters that you playing them, that has the potential to be a costume fail for some people. Not for you, baby.
Costume cancellation. Joe's going to be out.
I mean, I've seen some people, like, I've they're not my friends, but I've seen people, that, especially in the South, be like, oh, dog, that might.
So are you, hold on, I'm just asking. Are you hoping to recreate and do a costume thing next week here where they cast of Different Strokes?
No. Who? Okay. Okay. Would I be Arnold or Willis?
Well, you got to pick. Yeah.
Man.
You get first dibs.
That would be wild. That would definitely be wild. But no, not really. How about we do Homie the Clown? I like that one.
I have an idea, actually.
What you got?
You should dress up as this famous actor that once starred in a TV show called Arliss.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, that would be, you know, that's art imitating life.
Do you have the cowboy hat?
I don't. I don't have the hair either.
Well, that makes two of
you?
Us.
You? What do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for $100,000 when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly. Hey. Cows? What are you going to do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
I have
got $100,000 on the line here. Sorry, partner. You got to find somebody else to do this deal.
Exactly.
This might be an early Daily Douglas. But I looked up yesterday to buy a cow. It's like $2,000.
Excuse me.
No, wait a minute. I forgot. It was either to buy a half a cow.
Wait, hold on.
Or a cow. It's $2,000.
How do you buy a half a cow?
Well, you get it. You cut it up. You go to the butcher, right?
Oh, you're trying to eat this thing, not have it as a pet.
Listen, since I bought a house.
Yeah.
Well, I got a house. I was gonna get a cow, and like put all the meat in the refrigerator. I was trying to figure out
you're going to get a cow, people assume it's alive.
Well, no,
it's a little more clear.
At some point, it's not going to be.
Are you planning on unaliving the cow?
I'm going to unalive the cow. Not me personally. No, I'm not going to do
that. You're going to get a living cow and then take care of it?
You pick out the cow.
And then you're going to be the one that does
you can pick out the cow and be like, hey, let me get that one.
But wait a second.
And then they do what they do.
Oh, they do. I thought you were alluding to that you're going to take care of the cow.
No, I'm not going to take care of the cow. But I thought about it. I mean, not me thinking about taking care of the cow.
Why don't you just go to the store and get meat like normal?
No, because it's cheaper in the long run to get the cow and unalive it and put the meat in the refrigerator. So but that's a lot of meat.
If you pause.
I would have rolled him until he told me no. I didn't even think about it like that.
If you get this cow, you need to help out Nick Sirianni, who desperately needed a glass of milk. in that press conference.
Had one in 20 years.
I can't believe.
Where'd the milk question come from?
I haven't had a glass of milk in probably 20 years.
I can't believe people still drink milk, man.
Do you know one of our coworkers here drinks milk? Do you know about this, Kyle?
Oh, it's Tucker, right?
Tucker.
He's a big milk guy.
When I would work with Tucker at night, he would bring in, I'm not kidding with you guys, half gallons a night and just knock that thing out, like during the show.
Excuse me.
See, this thing called the internet, when I start seeing how they process the milk and stuff, I'm like, I'm cool. Because the milk, white is not the original color of milk. It's not.
What color is it?
It's not white.
It's somewhat white.
Well, with a little tint.
Oh, yes.
It's
a little tinted.
Yeah, it's a little tinted. And it's when you look at it, you're like, I'm good.
Farmer Douglas over here buying half cows and telling us how the milk production
good,
but works.
I did think about buying a cow.
All right, we'll get to pasteurization in the next hour. All right, let's before we go any further, can we do a little What If Wednesday here? Sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, I got a what if for everybody. What if the Philadelphia Eagles did not trade a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson before the season? You see what's going on in the NFL. Trade deadline's a couple weeks away, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of movement here. So this morning, DeAndre Hopkins traded from the Titans to the Chiefs for a fourth round. I believe it actually is a conditional fourth. It could be a fifth. It's either a fifth or a fourth. And then there's a rumor out there that Cooper Kupp could be on the move, and that sounds like it's a second-round pick. And I'm just and last week it was, what, Amari Cooper went for a third?
Yeah, something like that. A lot of receivers moving teams.
Well, and they're also all going for around the price that Jahan Dotson did. Hugh, what if Wednesday...
We could have got a better receiver.
Yeah, what if we didn't waste a third-round pick? And that, right now it feels like a waste, right? Jahan Dotson feels like he's not even part of the season. They're throwing the ball less, obviously going to get less targets for the slot guy. Feels like Howie made a mistake on that one when he could have waited and gotten a better player for the same price.
I think at the time, though, I mean, it's kind of like buying a car. I mean, I know that's a pretty bad analogy, but it is. You know, the deal that you get for the car might not be the same that someone gets later on in the year for the same car. So it's one of those things where I don't look at it that bad. I wish we'd have got him. I wish we'd get more production out of him.
Sure.
But. Hell, Schmitty only got one target last week. Maybe we win a game.
Maybe he's not good
maybe,
or open.
I think it's kind of hard to say because the quarterback, for whatever reason, has not been accurate. He's been a little late in some of his throws. So I don't think that's a fair assessment. If I'm trying to be fair and balanced in this situation, I don't think that's a fair assessment because we've seen right before our eyes this team just shift gears. And we've become more of a running team. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's going to be a time and a place where Jahan Dotson gets a chance to shine.
Well, he might have to. I mean, he did start a couple games because of the injury to A.J. Brown. I just look at it like this. If you told Howie now, I know you can't do this, your analogy with the car thing, Hugh. If you told Howie now what the price of cars are, right, if we're using receivers as cars around the deadline,
mm-hmm.
there's no way if he could go back in time, he would have made the trade. Right, like better players are going for this. Amari Cooper went for a very similar price. Amari Cooper's way
Cooper
better.
Traded a few times though.
He has been, yeah.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
But I think that's more a product of the Cowboys and the Browns more than like and the Raiders. He's played on some weird
Cowboys.
Teams.
They traded him away, and now Jameis the starter in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of receivers moving. I don't expect the Eagles to spend another resource on a receiver. I if they trade for something before the deadline, which is a week from Tuesday, I would think it's what going to be a pass rusher. If they trade for one thing before the trade deadline, a week from Tuesday, I don't think it's another receiver. They can't use another pick on a receiver.
I don't think they trade for a pass rusher. You think so?
Well, let's just say they do trade for something. What do you think it would be? What position would they try to add to the team?
A running back.
Hmm.
Another running back.
Because we're a run team now?
Yeah, I would. Your biggest concern was the fact that Saquon was running the ball a lot. Like, he was more efficient last week.
But he's running a lot.
He's running a lot. And he's been pretty healthy so far. Knock on Formica, whatever this is. I would say probably another complimentary back.
Well, you go back to 2017.
They let some of the young cats run a little.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. We could see more Gainwell and more Shipley. They did trade for Jay Ajayi in 2017. If I had to guess, I still think they would add a pass rusher to the mix. But the pass rush has obviously been good the last couple weeks here with the guys that have 13 sacks. Our little what-if Wednesday – my guess is they don't they don't love the Jahan Dotson trade. That one not working out right now the way they envisioned.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
Yeah, it feels that way. If Cooper Kupp goes for three, it's a disaster. I mean, like the fact that they paid that when these other receivers that are way better are going for it, it's not good. Rob Adelko, what's up, Rob?
Joseph Q, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Rob.
Listen, I got a couple. I'm a hot take team here, so I got a couple hot takes for you. All right, that poll you put on Twitter for run the ball, I'm in the 10%, and you know why?
Why?
Because if we had a quarterback we believed in, Joe, it would be flipped. That's why the poll is the way it is. Not because we think we should run the ball, Hugh. I'm Andy Reid's philosophy: throw to set up the run. That's how I am. If we believed in our quarterback. That's why the poll was at 10%.
I love your take on this. I think you're right. I think this is more about the question marks and concern with what the quarterback's doing right now rather than, hey, this is the best way to go win the Super Bowl.
Yep. If we believed in Jalen, then it would be 90, it would be the flipped. You know what I mean? It would be flipped. So I think it's all based on the quarterback. That's why we think we should run the ball. Now, here's my hot take with the Sixers, Hugh. I have no problem with what they're doing, Joe. None. Why didn't we do this 5 years ago? What, we had to wait for him? We had to waste years of him getting the MVP or finishing runner-up a couple times or getting his Olympic gold medal? Why didn't we start this plan 5 years ago? It wasn't like he just started getting hurt last year, right, Joe?
No. He's been getting hurt a long time, yep.
He's been getting hurt every single year he's been here. All 10 years, whatever it's been, 10, 11 years since he's been in a Sixers uniform, he's been getting hurt. So this is not new. I'm just mad at you. They didn't do this earlier. That's all I'm mad.
Too little, too late. It does feel that way. It feels too little, too late.
I feel like his best years are behind him.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing this now for, Josh Harris? You know what I mean? What are you doing this now for? The light bulb just went on. Let's conserve him for the, for the playoffs. Hell, they should be doing this years ago. That's my only gripe. Not what they're doing, but when they decide to do it. You know what I mean? That's my biggest thing. And guess what?
Mm.
Before I give you my answer, here's the biggest hot take, Hugh. They're going to, after all, just ripping the Sixers, they're going to win a championship before the Phillies and the Eagles, okay? Mm. That's how I feel about the quarterback, and that's how I feel the state of the Phillies when we're going backwards.
Wow. Well, that would surprise a lot, even though maybe it's accurate. It would surprise a lot. All right, Rob, give us your guess. What do you got?
All right. I love this show. I don't know if he actually had a uniform for it or not. MacGyver.
MacGyver was a fun show. That's not it, but it's a fair guess. All right, on the other side, Elliot Shore Parks will join us. His thoughts on the Embiid stuff and the Eagles. Plus, we're still trying to give away this prize. It's a good one. $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's. The best clue coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Your calls as well. 215-592-949 for your chance to chime in on Embiid, Sirianni's press conference, and run the ball. Yes or no? Everyone says yes. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, I want to remind you that it's time to speak up. Election Day is November 5th, and we want every block and every voice to be heard. From Poplar to Mayfair, from Cobbs Creek to Parkwood, it's election time, and we want your voice to be heard. Visit vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail and request your mail-in ballot before October 29th. That's vote.philly.gov/vote-by-mail. Come on, Philly. We want every block and every voice to be heard.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.